And you might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 23 again. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. And thank you again for thy word, that we're able to come to grips in a more pleasing way to you, to understand your wonderful person intelligently and practically. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. You all have shoes of some kind, and they're your shoes. You do not have any problem claiming those shoes. Of 100 pairs of shoes that would be in a big room, you would go to your pair of shoes. You all have, maybe, a toothbrush. And you all have a toothbrush. That's your personal toothbrush. No one else is supposed to have that toothbrush. That's your toothbrush. It's your my shoes and my toothbrush. Now, that's personal. It's the keys that you have to your house are your keys to your house. It's all personal. The keys and the shoes and the toothbrush, if they are not personal, they're irrelevant to you, aren't they? Now, so, your relationship, who is God to the person? That's what it asks. Who is your God? Well, all kinds, all different things, all different ways to people. Mormons have one kind of God. Everyone's have a different kind of God. Is Allah, Islam, all of it, different kind of gods. God, so what do we know? Well, A, to identify the right God, is God your creator? A constant declaration of independence. In this country, if you're born in this country, you want to understand what? God is your creator, not evolution. If you're born in this country, that's what you'd understand, not evolution. But if you think so, if God is your creator, where did you come from? Well, you had to come from man and woman, literally. Male and female. Father and mother. You throw away those terms, you lose where you came from. If you aren't sure where you came from, in your gut, you got a problem found in your gut. Because you're going to go back, Exodus chapter 20, you have to turn there. The first four commandments have to do with what? God. In the beginning, God. Where do you start? With God. But if I don't have, what is God to me? Is God the God that created me or not? And if he didn't create me, then something else did. Mother and father, somehow. I wasn't aborted. Somehow I made it. Here I am. My mother and father didn't make me. They made your body. The soul and spirit belong to God. He's the creator. We aren't in the business of creating humans, even though we try different ways to genetically and all that to do things, DNA. Having said that, so it says, and then after you said the first four commandments, and then you go to the next, and then God says, listen, honor your father and mother. God's the creator. Your father and mother are the source. If you don't honor your father and mother, they're the bridge. They're the bridge. Remember, we shared these things 100 times. They're the bridge to get from you to God. How do I get from me to God? because I'm created by my parents, and my parents, God made it so that man and woman, male and female, egg and sperm, God, for me to get to you, God. So I need to understand that. And all of that makes it personal. And if that isn't personal, you have one terrible problem with Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And if he isn't your shepherd, if he isn't your God, if he isn't your Savior, personal, you're going to read this for 1,000 years and it won't make a hill of difference to you. I'm telling you now, and we've got a whole society at the end of the age as we're looking at it that doesn't know beans about anything, hardly, or what they should know. And they're going to pay for it. They're paying for it. They're going to pay for it. So now, God, here we are. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So if he isn't your shepherd, personal, it's my doctor. There's a lot of doctors, but there's a doctor that tends to tell me why I should die, etc. All of those different things. And I have all that. That's mine. I don't go to my dentist. You have your dentist. And what we have? Well, we have my Savior, my God, my Shepherd. So we started on Wednesday reminding ourselves that what does it mean and how does it work if he's your shepherd? How is it to journey through time not wanting? Not wanting. Say that, how does it work? You want to know how does the Father work so that you don't want? David, you knew it. So as we've exercised, we share together. And the word want means to lack, to be without, to suffer need, to be deficient. That's the word want. You're missing something. Lacking something, needing something. And then we shared together, you don't have to turn there, in Exodus chapter 16. And we shared there to remind God in his wonderful grace, helps Israel start out. They need to understand how they're going to make it. Now, he knows they're not going to believe him. They're not going to trust being a very special people. Exodus chapter 19. They don't, 4 through 6, they are not going to, they just aren't going with that. All that you say, God, we will do, verse 8. That's what they're going to do. So God knows that. So he's going to help them. So in their journey in 40 years in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, no food, no water, comparatively never for that huge crowd and animals, people. Never. So, God, you're going to do that. That's right. So you had to teach them. You taught them about water. Water, bitterness, bitterness. The bitter water, they started out and they got bitter water. Bitter, life's bitter, bitter, bitter. Bitter. And God said, you understand, if you're going to handle life, we're going to do it next on mercy. Miserable. Think of miserable miser. And you'll be close to misery. Misery. Misery, minor, miserable. And that's where mercy comes in. For the miserable. Now, so God, what'd you do? Well, you're going to go and told them about water. And they had to make sure they trusted Calvary's cross and God. To sweeten it. Don't call bitter sweet, sweet bitter. First Isaiah 5:20. Don't turn it upside down. Nope. And you taught them about food. They have to live by food. So you taught them and manna, and you gave manna. And you put manna on the ground, heaven's bread, the bread of heaven from God. And you put bread on the ground and on the ground. And they would go and fill their little cup, as it were, and fill their cup as much as they want. They could have 10 quarts or 10 barrels or one cup. Up to them. But they could never keep it overnight. If they did, it turned to worms and stank, smelt. So you didn't want to do that. But on the sixth day, you could go and have it, and you'd get twice as much in order. Why? Because on the seventh day, there won't be any manna. On the seventh day, there's no manna, and God allows it to be doubled without ever stinking, without ever, no worms, and it'll stay overnight for the seventh day. And by the way, God said, I want you to take a pot and fill it with manna. And I want you to put the pot over near the ark, over there, put it near the ark, out there, in the thing. And I want it to sit there for 40 years plus, so you'll never forget. But it'll never go bad for 40 years. So God, you're in charge. Obviously you're in charge. So God was saying, well, 6 days, you're going to go and trust me and do what you have to do. I'm going to provide, and you're going to exercise my provision and exercise it. And on the seventh day, you're going to rest and stop so that you remember what you did for 6 days. You could do for 6 days because of what God did on the seventh day. He rested. What are you doing? You're going to rest on the seventh day. No bread, no manna on the ground. You're going to rest and look to me, because everything you have is because I have finished the work. And the reason you're having to do this in part is because, what's the reason? Well, you are not going to honor my word. And therefore, you're going to work 6 days. And then the seventh day, you'll stop and rest. The seventh month, the seventh year, etc., etc. You're going to stop. Everything stops every 7 years. Stop. Every 70th year, stop. 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 I'm trying to teach you. So when we come to us on the other side of the cross, what are we doing? We're to enjoy his rest 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We realize God has made possible a wonderful plan for our life as we turn the pages, as you know, and look to God, the God of hope. He's the hope of God, hope, God's hope, our hope, so that we can proceed, because God knows the pages. I don't. You don't. We don't know tomorrow. We did all of this. Now, God, you're trying to help Israel be educated, and they need to learn. So now, did they learn? Why? David, you got it, but they didn't. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you guys didn't get it. Over to Amos chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, in Amos in chapter 4. And if I can, God taking care of everything, the manna and all of that, so that they lacked nothing at all. So now, here in Amos chapter 4, picking up, here's Israel, the 10, remember they divided the 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south, and the 10 tribes in the north did their own thing in any and every way possible. Instead of honoring Jerusalem and the temple, and they did everything the opposite, the priesthood and all of it. So when we come over to chapter 4, and you will notice, please, down to verse 6. Remember now, God is trying to help them to wake up. So he does a lot of things to get people to wake up before it's too late. So chapter 4, verse 6. I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Ye have not returned Have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Do you see the word want of bread? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, lack. Well, I'm going to make sure that you aren't getting it. Remember, if we read Deuteronomy 8 and all of those wonderful things, 7, God provided them and everything. The shoes, the clothing, the food, they lacked zero for 40 years. Zero. It didn't do any good because it didn't care what you had. In other words, what will satisfy you? Give you a $10 raise in pay? That's good for till next week. What about a $5 raise in pay? And when's $5 good enough? Well, what's the next one? And the next one? And the next? When are we satisfied? When are we ever satisfied? Well, that's the couch I want. That's the couch you want. Then after a while, you need another couch. When does it stop? It's hard to come to an end. We're always wanting something. Now God said, I'm going to have you want bread. So that's what they have. God made it so that it wasn't easy, like in the days of Noah, to eat. The ground was so cursed, that's why the flood. The ground was so cursed, you couldn't, hard to get food because of the curse. So now, having said that little bit, over to chapter 8. And Amos is there dealing with the 10 tribes in the north. And in the process, they're going to go in the Assyrian captivity. And you'll remember in chapter 8 and in verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Remember, bread, hard to get bread, hard to eat. But you guys didn't pay attention to that. So the next one, you're going to find bread. The bread of heaven, you're not going to find. The bread of the word of God. Man shall not live, you read it, Deuteronomy 8. By bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, so God, you took away the bread, made it very difficult. Therefore, but they listen? Nope, the Assyrians are coming. Verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, Lord God, that I will send a famine to the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. You're not going to find. Well, where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? In a way that you will help you understand a little bit. It won't matter to most people, but to you guys. Take away the Bible, close it. And get it out of the house. Get rid of it. And you'll never have it again. How would that be? The book's gone. The God of the book is gone. Now what? You're going to live like the rest of them. That's right. But once you miss something, you got to miss it first. You got to possess it to miss it, I should say. So, God, and why are they missing it? Over to chapter 7 of Amos, and chapter 7 and in verse 12. And chapter 7 and in verse 12. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, he's a king, O thou seer, go flee. The seer means someone who brings the message. O thou seer, go flee into the away thee, into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Go back down south and talk to them. Get unto them. Go tell them. Go tell them the stuff. Don't keep telling us. Verse 13. The prophecy, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, the 10 tribes in the north, for it is the king's chapel. And it is the king's court. So don't tell me anymore. We don't want to hear anymore. And remember going back to the beginning at Exodus 19. God spoke, Deuteronomy chapter 5, rehearsing it, repeating it. What did God spoke? And they didn't want to hear. and they didn't want to hear any more from God. I shared this with you. I think it's sobering. God, why don't you? Where are you? You told me to shut up and back off, and I have backed off. Today, if you want to hear me, Hebrews 1, hear ye my son. You want to hear me. Listen to my son. I don't want to. Then you don't hear. You won't know. Well, so here we are looking. Verse 16. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel. Drop not thy word against the house of Isaac, etc., etc. And verse 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be as an harlot in the city. Thy sons and daughters, they shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity, go into captivity forth of his land. That's what's going to happen. God, I told you. Assyrian was coming. Assyria. Babylonians coming. They wouldn't listen. Well, they don't listen. Now, you got that part. So why? Why don't? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How come Israel missed? They didn't want it. They didn't want that kind of God that was wonderfully, wonderfully God to be God. Now, take it another way to see it from a more our position a little better. Over to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 15. And if I may, chapter 15. And you will notice, remember that you know the parable God uses, the illustration of the two sons, verse 11. The man had two sons, and the younger son wanted to go without reading it all, necessarily. And the younger of them said to his father, forgive me portion of goods that falleth unto me, and he divided unto them his living. Now here you are, born on planet Earth. The reason you were born is because God created you to be born before anything was ever created. And God already had you. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. God already had you. So you're already born. Now, here you are, born, and you're here. Why are you here? Because God wanted you here. Why did God want you here? You could have a physical birth, you're going to be dead in sins. Ah, be of good cheer. Christ has immediately made a solution for you. Even though you're born dead, God has given you the right and privilege to choose to life. To know his a wonderful relationship to God. All you got to do is choose it. That's all you've got to do. Wow. Now, so therefore, the Son wanted, and when you choose life, you choose God's wonderful plan for your life in the Father's house. Hang on. Now, so what did the Son want? The Son looked out. The Son is part of the world system. He reaches out and sees the world system, and it's very attractive in socially and economically in 100 ways. It is. There's no question. It's what it is. We're earthlings, and we are attracted by earthly things. And in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted, to see the word wasted? Wasted. He wasted. Took it. Wanted. He spent. He wasted his substance, spent it, scattered it, lost it, substance, with riotous living. And he wasted the time. You have time. You have so many years of your life. You have opportunities to do things. People buy what they want to buy and eat what they want to eat and live where they want to live, basically. They do all of these things. We have them. And we do them, but we've got them. But the trouble is, they all come to the place where we discover that eating isn't what it's all about. Going to work isn't what it's all about. It isn't about going to work. It is about having children or no children. It isn't about that. That isn't what life is. Life is a relationship to God that he made possible by creating you. Now, so here we are going, and they're going, and they wasted it. So when it's all done, but make believe, let's really push it up there. So here's someone in the sports field or something, and he's got 25 trophies for something. And 25 trophies, he's got pains in his back and legs and everything. He's very, very limited. When you look back at your trophies, not all your trophies, and you look back, what good are they? I didn't realize so many people were billionaires. Did you? You guys know this stuff. I keep hearing all these people are billionaires. Man, not a million, a billion. That's more money than most of you make. Wow. A billionaire. And when you're all done, a billionaire. And you live like over there in Rhode Island in the houses they had, the golden faucets and golden everything, you know, gold rooms, literally. And it's you in the same body. Your hearing's going, your sight's going, your body's going, your pain in your knees, your legs, your hips. Well, now tell me what. All of that, tell me what it did. Now what good is all of that? It was for a moment. And you thought you had it all, but you don't have it all. It disappears. It just disappears. And it's not there. And what you would give to have a healthy body, you'd give up all of these golden faucets to be able to just have a healthy body, let alone anything else. Because we discover, so the sun, the point I'm trying to get for us to see maybe afresh. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And there's your little word we're looking at. He began to see he needed. Having discovered all of that, he ended up having a need. There was a deficiency. Something's lacking. Whatever I had isn't good enough to meet the need. Therefore, he would have feigned, have tried to get it in the world system. Now, let me ask you another question. How much does the world system care about you? You say you got a job and you're a big shot. That's true, until another big shot takes your shot. No matter what it is. So how much does the world care? Well, the world doesn't care. And that's what you need to see. Because otherwise, we're caught up here like we did the nets, remember? We did the nets. The devil has the nets all over the place. So God, what did he do? Well, verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. No one cares. They care about your baloney. They only care a little bit. That's all anyone cares. That's all they can do. We're only humans. We're always humans. We can't be more than that. We're always like that. A little bit disappointed in us. Verse 17, and when he came unto himself, he said, how many hired him servants in my father's house? My father's have bread enough. The lowliest people in my father's house are better off than I am. And despair, and I perish with hunger, etc., etc. So he's going to rise and go home. And without getting all of that, just keep in mind as that little bit, if you would. And so therefore, he decides that he has to go back home. Now, what did he do? In the first place, he had everything, but he didn't understand having everything. He didn't understand it. He had a father, a wonderful father, but he didn't appreciate being a son of the father. He didn't appreciate being a son. He didn't understand being a son. Being a son so limited. And he wanted to be in the world. That's what he did. He wanted to fit in. He wanted to fit into the system. That's what he wanted. He didn't have a father. He didn't understand his father. He didn't understand his wonderful benefits. He didn't understand all that he had. All that the father had. And so he went and left it. He left it all. So therefore, the father's care, no. And what was it? He was a son, I shared. And he was in the father's house, in the father's care. And he had the wonderful, wonderful enjoyment of all the benefits. But he didn't enjoy the benefits. He didn't participate in the benefits. He didn't enjoy having so much. Back to your billionaire. The billionaire has more money, enough money, to buy a state of Rhode Island or something. And you got enough money, so you don't have to worry about the who cares if the cost of gas goes up to $10 a gallon? Who cares if you've got $10, $10 million? It doesn't matter to you. No. So therefore, he didn't understand the benefits or the father appreciate any of it. And therefore, he had to understand when he came back. What did he come back to? He'll come back as a servant. He's humbled. He realizes how stupid he was. And he realizes he has no right to any of those benefits. He forfeited them. But the father is going to receive him in a most wonderful way. Even though he wasted that time, effort, and energy in the world trying to get everything that seemed to be fitting. And he came to the father, and as you know, the father received him. And what did he do? Well, the father, he had to realize he was a son. When you get saved, you're a son, male and female. How many believers enjoy being a son? Not a son, a son of God. I didn't say the Son of God. I said a Son of God in the Son of God. How many enjoy the Father? We have a Father. We're in His presence. Do we understand the Father? Do we enjoy the Father? The Son didn't. He didn't understand. There's believers that really get saved and never connect up here, seemingly, to what happened. That's the next thing. The son discovered his father's care, and the father, in his repentance, God did everything. Now the other half, a little spot you got to add, is what? The other son, his older brother. What about his older brother? His older brother got all upset. Remember, without reading it? You read it. He got all upset because they had the best calf dinner. They had the best robe put on him in his ragged clothes. The best robe, the best dinner. They had a big party. They're all excited. Heaven is excited in this very context, as you know, over how many sinners that repent. One of them. Heaven is excited over one of them. Not a dozen. You won't find a dozen. Find one of them. Find one. So they got, and now what about the son? I don't want to leave him out. Now he's been there all the time. He's a son just like the other guy, his brother. But you know what? He's still there. He didn't leave. He stayed. But you know what? The son that goofed and lost everything, he woke up. He woke up. That's wonderful. The son that's there hasn't woken up yet. He doesn't appreciate being a son. He doesn't appreciate the father's care and love. And all the time the son is there, he has everything in heaven. as it were, for us. I'm using our terms. He had everything there for the Son, the Father did. Our resources, the instant we get saved, are heavenly. How many? They don't increase. The resources are all one package given to you. But the Son didn't realize that. The Son didn't awaken to that. And the believers are sort of numb and dumb. About the Father. About being a Son. About the Father's care. And all the benefits they have. They aren't wanting. But you would think they're wanting. Because, why? They just seem to be missing. Where's the joy? Rejoy. They didn't have any joy. The Father's delighted. The children need to wake up. Now, that's the illustration to go with Amos. Amos, they didn't want anything. And so we go to the next thing. Us believers need to get a handle about wanting. One is you don't care. Like and what we just did with the Son. Think of Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2 and verse 4. What did the first church in Ephesus, remember it's all going to go downhill, seven churches, all going to deteriorate, get wanting, lacking, till we come to the end. And what are we going to call Laodicea? I have need of what? Nothing. Nothing. What do we get in the beginning? Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. They lost their first love. They were reading the Bible. They were doing. They lost the relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Relationship. And if you don't have the relationship realistically and understandably and put it to work, you got nothing. Is that all right? I don't care if you read it and you can tell me whatever you want. All I got to do is look at your life or my life and you'll know. You'll know how much I got. Now, therefore, with that in mind, and the most wonderful thing for the Son that came back is to enjoy being a son of the Father. Think of it. If I couldn't go nowhere else forever, I'd leave you with that. If it was my death wish. To learn to be a son of the Father. Practically. That's what it's about. Wow. Now, so therefore, Father, we want to move now, right? All, remember, pieces of the puzzle. Always putting pieces out. And you got to connect pieces. So that's why we do. We just did it Wednesday, tonight. We keep connecting. It's one thing to put pieces out. You know, if I had a bunch of... You guys are puzzlers. I mean, puzzled people. And here you are. And you got to... You put all the pieces out there. And you line them up. You line them up, make believe. And as you line them up, but you don't stick them together. And what do they need? A push. They need to... put in place so all the pieces stick together. That gives you the picture, not loose. We got to stick them together. That's what we're doing. We're seeking to stick everything together. This for Amos and Luke and Exodus 9:60. Stick the pieces together. God and David help. David knew it, so I'm trying to make it understand how. Think of the magnificence of your internet or your computer system with the zeros and ones and all of those things and all the little pinholes, you know, the little plates and everything, algorithms and all that they have to do and make it so that it all goes together. So you push a button and all the different plates work. Billions of little things all moving to make things work and to think. And we just say something and the computer even talks to you. In fact, humans are sort of being extinct. So when you call for anything, the humans, the machines talk to you. They sound so intelligent and polite in everything that they do. And they talk to you and tell you, do this, do this. Would you repeat that again, sir? And you repeat something again. And they do it. And they say, then they say, thank you for calling. And it stops. And you didn't get anything. Because they're machines, a wonderful machine. Very complicated machine. An awesomely complicated machine. To understand, and to understand how they make them and do them is awesome. Wow. Now God, what have you done? You have made it so that we can look to you, and life is rather complex and involved, and yet you have made it so that as we look to you, 2 Corinthians 11:3, you tell us not to get caught up in the devil's simplicity, devil's subtlety to trick and, like we do with the nets, trick and to trap us so that we lose it. No, we don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose this what? The simplicity, the single-heartedness that God, you are God, totally in everything. Everything is made by you. There's nothing that is made that you didn't make. So, Father, and you created us in your image and likeness to know you as sons, as thy children, to be able to enjoy you in a most wonderful way. That's what you did, Father. So, Father, here we are. And the sons, one recovers and gets it, the other one didn't get it. The church age goes down and loses that relationship to where we are now. So therefore, appropriately, over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 6. And if I may, and may I pick up in the Sermon on the Mount, remember, and God's, what's it all about? It? If you want God to be the Father, and you want God to take over everything, then God said, this is the way it's going to be. So, chapters 5, 6, and 7. You want me to be God right now? You guys aren't ready. And I'll be God, but you're going to have to do a number of things that you're not capable of doing yet, because I haven't gone to the cross. But, in the process, God, you instructed them. And verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That doesn't do much good, so forget that. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly, for your Father. Remember we shared the Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the term Father, 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 Father. Why do you keep saying? Because he says he's Father. He's a Father, God the Father. And therefore, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth the things that you have need. Remember, thou shalt not want, need, be deficient in, lacking. The Father knoweth the things that you have need, you're lacking, before you ask him. Remember the pages? Turning the pages? Turn them. Turn the pages. And the pages, as you turn the pages, you can't know the next page. You don't know the next day of your life. God does. God does. God does. So God, we're looking. You're our expectancy. We're looking to you. And so therefore, God, you know. Do you know what our need is going to be? Absolutely. Do you know to the degree of it? Absolutely. My Father. Aha. Now, over to chapter, you know, chapter 30, chapter 6 and verse 30. To need, to make use of, to want, to take care of poverty, lacking. Chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, in the light of all of the wonderful things, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That's good. You got to walk by faith, not by sight. Therefore, take no thought. Don't have a divided mind. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't get caught up in the need. You're trying to make life and fulfill your needs and the lack in your life, and you aren't going to, even if you think you have it, you don't have it when you're all done. So when you think you have, it won't last very long anyway. Wherefore shall you be clothed? Verse 32, after all these things do the Gentiles seek? They do, absolutely. Their whole life's like that. Welfare, everything you want to get. You want to have food, you want to have clothing, you want to have everything. I know you do. It's the world, it's normal. All these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, again, Father, Son, knoweth not that you have need, there's your thing, need again, want, lacking of all these things. So God, do you know what you need, what I need? Absolutely. The pages are being turned, and you know what's ahead? Tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year? I do, God said. I know all the need. So you're going to go forward and trust God? That's right. I'm going to do it. So God, what am I going to do? I'm going to go and make you first, second, and third, as it were. Keep you first. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So how are you going to do it? God is going to meet the need. David, did you have it right? Absolutely. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I should worry. God's my shepherd. I'm not going to want. I'm always going to have want. But the want is already addressed. As I journey through time, turning the pages of my life, the want is need, the lack, what's missing, the deficiencies are all met as I proceed down the corridor. Therefore, 34, verse 34, take therefore no thought, don't let your mind get all over the place, for the morrow shall take thought. There's enough to worry about and think about tomorrow without getting there. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough trouble. There's enough being in the world without you having to sit and play with it and add to it. Why don't you just go one day at a time? That doesn't mean you don't plan and don't think and don't do everything. You do. But you aren't locked onto it. I don't know the next. I don't know tomorrow. You don't. I know, but I don't know. God knows. And therefore, God, our hope is in you. God, you're the hope. You're the expectancy that we have. So as we're going to go, you're going to meet all our need, because you know all our need. That's right. That's why David, you didn't need to requisition anything before you started. And as you journey through time, God met every need all the way to the end. And you remember reading that in Chronicles as we did it. My times, said David, are in thy hand. My times. And when it comes to the end of David's life, God says what? And all his times were in my hand. From the day he was born to the day he died, his times were in my hand, said God. And that's how David lived. That's how we live. Wow. So now, having said that little bit and thinking of that, and therefore we don't want to be caught up in everything that we have to do, doubtful of mind. Turn there for a moment. On your way or not. Luke and chapter 12. We didn't get very far, but I just wanted to remind you, without my shepherd being very personal, I'm telling you, and you say, well, I say that. If he isn't your creator and your God and your savior, You aren't going to get there. There's no bridge to get there. You've cut it off. He's the creator. That's a declaration, well, of independence. Your creator. Therefore, chapter 12 of Luke, going over to verse 30, just adding one little thing. In chapter 30, the same thing we read in Matthew 6, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need, there's your little word, need, wanting, lacking, of these things. But, rather seek ye the kingdom of God and his right, and all these things shall be added unto you. So therefore, and all of that, in the light of, verse 30, in all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these, verse 29 I should say, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, and neither be ye doubtful of mine. And just adding that little thought in the light of the same context, the word doubtful means to be raised up, to float in the air, to float. Don't be doubtful. That's a wonderful little word. Don't be in your mind like a little feather going up and down the wind, up and down, like a leaf, up and down, all over. Don't be floating all around. It'd be like in James. If you ask, and ask believing for wisdom. Otherwise, doubting, and you're going to be all over the place. Why aren't I trust God? I trust God. No, you don't. God said, don't do that. The world does that. You don't do that. Your Father knows, and we're going to do that tonight. You'll see it. But therefore, in closing, unfortunately, closing. Over to John chapter 10. And do it a little different. Remember, the prodigal son returns home for all the benefits. He wakes up to the father, that he's the son, the father's care, and the huge, endless benefits that never run out in that house, in my father's house. Now, chapter 10, the Lord is our shepherd. Remember the Lord, chapter 10 about the Lord being our shepherd. And I'll read verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door of by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's how you get saved. Receive the Lord as your Savior. And you go in and go out, blessed going in, blessed going out, and find pasture. Point, find pasture. I shall not want. God, are you going to take the sheep down the course with the wolves and the snakes and everything? Yeah, uh-huh. In the valley of death, uh-huh. Evil, uh-huh. I'm going to go. And God, what are you going to do? We're going to do what? I'm going to go. I'm the door. And wherever they are, they'll always find pasture. Always. Then you're going to read, if you get the psalm, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures by still waters. Now I want you to take from pasture, through the door to the pasture. What pasture? Chapter 14. Chapter 14. If I can, directly in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way to Thomas. Thomas wants to know how to get there. Jesus saith unto him, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the pasture. And go through me, you'll come to the Father. In the Father's house are many abiding places. You've got to go through the door to the pasture. Son, what did you find when you came back to the father's house? My father welcomed me, and I understood I was a son, not a servant, not a slave. I'm not of the world anymore. He took me out of the world to be in his son, and in the son, and as a son. Here I am to enjoy all the benefits. Wow. So God, when we came to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, you brought us to the Father as sons, for his care and all his benefits. Your Father knoweth the need before you ever ask him. The Father knoweth everything, and you haven't even got there yet. And the Father will take care so that we shall not need. We shall not need. No. No, you won't. Understand how it works. And the Father is going to operate in his grace and in his mercy in a most wonderful way. You walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to trust him step by step, inch by inch, with thanksgiving. Be quiet. And be for Psalm 46. Be quiet. Be still. Hush. And know that he is God. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us as we try to journey along properly. And our God, we're going to thank you. God, we're just trying in a world that doesn't care. God, but we don't want that. No, sir. No, thank you. No, thank you. God, thanks. Thanks a lot for all that you're doing, for your grace, for your kindness, for your dying on the cross, rising again, for your wonderful ministry, Spirit of God, as you honor our Lord and honor thy word. So God, help us a little bit, please. David said, I shall not want. God, help us to begin to grab, to be able to understand, to be able to bring into our experience such benefits. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.